Welcome back to the Below Average Joe's MMA Show. First and foremost, I want to apologize. There was no Friday preview episode that got released. Things got busy and hectic over the last few days for the Mother's Day weekend, a lot going on. So I do apologize for no Friday preview episode, but we are here today on Monday to recap all things UFC St. Louis and the fight announcement that I was going to discuss on Friday's show will be a part of today's episode. So there's three announcements that were recorded then, and there was one new fight announcement for UFC 302 that was announced on the broadcast last night. So you can expect to hear those at the end of today's show as well. So apologies are out of the way. We get right into it. UFC St. Louis, Derek Lewis does it again. Let's talk about it. There's only one Derek Lewis. It's that simple. His balls are hot. His ass is showing. He's knocking people out. His 15th UFC knockout, an all-time leader in that category. He adds another to the list in St. Louis, Missouri. He knocks out Rodrigo Nascimento. He's back in the win column for the first time since last July. The 39-year-old is staying very, very active. And with this activity, what can we make of it? How can we match make for the former title challenger, Derek Lewis? Let's talk about that right here, right now. Entering UFC St. Louis, Derek Lewis had lost four of his last five fights, but leaving UFC St. Louis, he has won two of his last three. Quick how things can change in this fight game as he knocks out the 15th-ranked Rodrigo Nascimento. I had said on Friday that it felt like this was just a very, very big step up. And if this fight was not taken to the mat by Nascimento, he would be knocked out. It's just the simple fact of the matter. Not many people can stand and trade with Derek Lewis without suffering the repercussions. Rodrigo Nascimento is added now to the list of victims to the power of the all-time knockout leader in the UFC, Derek the Black Beast Lewis. The 39-year-old actually, dare I say, showed some wrinkles in his game. He was initiating the clinch with Rodrigo Nascimento, who is known for his submission victories in his career. He was going for takedowns and trips, and when he was taken down, he was able to get back up, which I guess that part isn't all new. He can just stand up anytime, any place, unless you're Jailton Almeida. But it was a very interesting game plan, to say the least, for Derek Lewis. But I think once that third round started, he realized, okay, I've had moments where I've landed big and it's obviously hurting Nascimento. Let's keep it on the feet for an entire 5 minutes and see what can happen. And when he made that switch, he got a 49-second finish into the third round. Derek Lewis, man, what more can you say about this guy? He delivers another memorable post-fight interview with Michael Bisping in the cage saying how he's old and you don't see many people nearing 40 that are still knocking dudes out, which that is very true. What he's doing is very, very special. And that's the good thing about being in the heavyweight division. You can have success for longer periods of time. Stipe Miocic, Daniel Cormier, just to name two former champions who did it late into their 30s and early 40s. And now I'm not sitting here saying Derek Lewis sitting at number 12 in the rankings before Tuesday morning at 39 years old is going to make another run at the title. And I'm not ruling it out completely. He can get a couple knockouts and climb right back into the top five. But I just think time isn't on his side. He's going to have to, you know, he's been very active as is. He fought three times in 2023, but he's really going to have to take it up a notch if he wants to have aspirations of getting back in there for a title, which he doesn't really talk about. He did say, though, during this week and with Michael Bisping that he feels he's in his prime. And so that just goes more toward the narrative. At heavyweight, you can do this and have sustained success longer later into your 30s and early 40s. So we'll see. I'm never going to count out the Black Beast Derek Lewis because he has the neutralizing power, fight-ending power, I should say, in his hands. And Nascimento suffered at the hand of that power in St. Louis, Missouri. And I called for this fight after Jairzinho Rozenstruik's last victory. I'm calling for it here after Derek Lewis's victory on Saturday. Why have we not matched these two up yet? It's number 11 versus number 12. It's two guys that are known for knocking people out. That is the fight to make next. Jairzinho Rozenstruik, he could have a fight booked. I'm not 100% sure, but if he doesn't, please do him and Derek Lewis next sometime in the summer. Derek Lewis didn't take a lot of damage here. Rozenstruik has been off for a little bit now. I can't remember the exact date of his last competition. So let's pair those two heavy hitters together. And look, it doesn't have to be a main event. We don't need to worry about booking these guys for five rounds because 90% of the time they're not going to even need a full three rounds. But let's be honest, Derek Lewis versus Jairzinho Rozenstruik, it's going to be a fight night main event. So let me know what you thought of the main event slot with Derek Lewis getting the victory, his post-fight speech, quite literally mooning the audience when he got done. He took his shorts off and fanned down Nascimento, who was recovering from getting knocked out. His balls are hot. He threw his cup into the stands. Derek Lewis was on one in St. Louis, Missouri. But after that finish, how can you blame the guy? Derek Lewis gets a victory, 15 knockouts. He increases his UFC record. Book him with Jairzinho Biggie Boy Rozenstruik next. And now that we are done with the main event discussion, let's hop into the rest of the card because there were some other good performances and ranked fighters that got victories on this card. The co-main event saw St. Louis's own Joaquin Buckley get his fourth straight victory and hand Nursultan Ruzaboev his first UFC loss. Ruzaboev had not tasted defeat since December of 2019. He was on a monumental win streak all by finishes and all by first round finishes at that. Not only did Buckley, neutralize the power, stay away from the danger in this fight, but he continues to show fight by fight, just like I said less than 2 months ago when he beat Vicente Luque, that he is evolving with his game. He's showing new wrinkles ever so slightly. It doesn't even have to be anything drastic, but it's obvious the improvements that he is making to hone in his craft. This was a huge victory coming off of the biggest victory of his career with a knockout over Luque in March. Buckley at number 11 at 170 pounds is a legitimate player. He is a legitimate top 15 welterweight in the world, and I look forward to what could be next. Let's discuss that, shall we? Now, he first called out Conor McGregor. A lot of people were really bashing him for doing this. I just took it as being good fun. Like, I don't think he actually thought it was a real possibility to fight Conor McGregor. Calm down on Joaquin Buckley. I thought it was fun. He was calling McGregor's family, like, I don't even know, hoes, or I don't know what was going on. I don't think he meant anything too serious by it. I think he was more so joking than anything. Let's not be serious and call people's family hoes, right? But Buckley was having fun. He went for the call out of the biggest name in mixed martial arts. He did it in front of his home crowd. Who cares? Let the guy live. He's on a massive win streak right now. And then he came back down to earth. Dana White was asked about it in the post-fight presser. He said no. Then Buckley came up. They asked him about Dana's comments. And he said, all right, let's get down to business and be legit here. Gilbert Burns. That's a beautiful call out. Gilbert's coming off of a loss to Jack Della Maddalena at UFC 299. The timelines will be relatively similar, less than 2 months apart from one another. I'm here for it. I think that is what should be next. Gilbert Burns versus Joaquin Buckley. Buckley has showed time and time again now in the past couple of years that he's more than just somebody that had a crazy spinning knockout against Impa Kasanganai. No, he is a legitimate threat on the feet with his power and his hands and his kicks, but he can grapple. He has takedown defense. He has clinch work. He is putting it all together and is in his prime right now at 30 years old. I really believe in Buckley to climb into title contention status. I think he does possess the skills and the mindset to do that. And the crowd was going nuts for the St. Louis native, as they should. But I think his fan base is growing, you know, fight by fight ever so slightly. Him versus Gilbert Burns in a main event slot should be next. Buckley should get his first opportunity at a five-round fight. Why not do that against a former title challenger Gilbert Durino Burns. We then go to the light heavyweight division where Carlos Alberg extended his win streak. He gets another knockout, this time in 12 seconds. That's all it took for him to knock out the number 11th ranked light heavyweight in the world, Alonzo Minifield. The Black Jag, Carlos Alberg, is 10-1 now with 8 finishes, and he has rallied off 6 straight victories since losing in his UFC debut to Kennedy Inzachukwu in 2021. No win bigger than this one right here against another Dana White Contender Series alum, Minifield, who was on a tear in his own right entering this fight. Someone's momentum and win streak had to come to an end, pardon me. And that was Minifield. He just bull rushed Alberg right out of the gate, face planted into the cage, stood up, and bam, one shot is all it took for Carlos Alberg to get the finish. He's a fantastic striker, and he gets it done if it goes 3 rounds as well. He's beaten Fabio Chiron over the course of 15 minutes. He's went into round 3 with Daun Jung before finishing him. He has skills and capabilities to climb and climb quickly in a division that isn't all that deep in the light heavyweight division. So come Tuesday morning, Alberg will be a top 15 light heavyweight in the world, and next up should be a top 10 opponent. Kind of similar to Anthony Smith and the discussion around him last week, you could pair him up with a Volkan Oezdemir, a Johnny Walker, a Nikita Krylov. Any of those 3 names make sense. And whoever doesn't fight Anthony Smith can fight Alberg. Whoever doesn't fight Alberg can fight Anthony Smith. Both of them should fight up in the rankings, and both of them would have fresh matchups with any of those 3 guys. That's what we should do next. Alberg has deserved a top 10, borderline top 5 opponent after putting together a win streak and a finishing streak like he's on right now. The 39-year-old Diego Ferreira proved that he still has some gas left in the tank after suffering a kind of a beating in round number 1 where he nearly got finished a couple times. He bounces back and smashes Matosh Rebecki in rounds 2 and 3. This was Diego's first win. Well, I guess he did win in May of last year. I forget about that knockout over Michael Johnson, but before that he had lost 3 straight fights and hadn't got a victory since January of 2020. But now here, over the last year, he's 2-0, 2 finishes over 2 dangerous opponents. I mean, Rebecki was on an absolute tear heading into this fight. He had 19 victories, with 16 of them by finish. He was, let's count here, 3-0 in the UFC and got a victory on the Contender Series. A dangerous guy. And not only did Diego survive, but he flipped the switch and destroyed Rebecki and got a finish with 9 seconds remaining in the fight. My hat is off to Diego Ferreira. I think it's hard to kind of matchmake for him at this stage in his career. He's been a top 15 ranked fighter before. Maybe he can try and inch his way back into the top 15, but he's going to have to fight a couple more guys on the outside looking in first. He's probably going to fight another prospect like Rebecki in his next outing. Chase Hooper, you belong at 155 pounds, my friend. And Chase Hooper isn't all about the submissions, because he got this finishing started on the feet with his hands. He knocked down Slava Claus early in round 1, dominated that entire round, and then in round 2, dominated some more before getting the Bravo choke submission, the Darce choke submission, 3 minutes on the dot into the second round. Man, 3-0 with 2 finishes since moving up to 155 pounds. Still only 24 years old. I saw a tweet last night from one of the MMA community accounts that was like, you know, it's still 4 or 5 more years until Hooper hits his physical prime that we see a lot of these fighters enter. That's scary to think about, because he's really starting to put together a complete toolbox. Now, he still is a little bit away from the top 15 in such a stacked weight class, but 2 or 3 more victories and Chase Hooper could very well be a ranked fighter in the most stacked division in the UFC, 155 pounds. Get him one more fight before the end of the year and someone else on the outside looking in, whether that's a veteran. Heck, he could even be matched up with Diego Ferreira for all we know, or someone else, maybe a Joel Alvarez type of fighter. There are good matchups that await him, and I think he can really rise to the occasion and make a run. And Carlos Alberg wasn't the only one that had a sub-1-minute finish in UFC St. Louis, because Esteban Ribovich knocked out Terrence McKinney with a high kick in 37 seconds. The legend of Terrence McKinney continues on. He's either going to absolutely destroy you, or you are absolutely going to destroy him. There is no in between. Ribovich has now won 2 fights in a row. He's 2-1 in the UFC. He lost his debut to Loic Robzabov last March after debuting from the Dana White Contender Series victory he had in late 2022. 13-1, 12 finishes, 7 of those coming in the first round. Dangerous on the feet with his kickboxing, but has 5 submissions to his credit as well. He's 28 years old, lightweight division, just keeps showing how deep it is. I just talked about Chase Hooper. I'm talking about Esteban Ribovich. We just talked about the 39-year-old Diego Ferreira. All of those guys are on the outside looking in and really not even that close yet to the top 15, and we are still talking about them here on the show today. Lightweight division just continues to prove why it has been the featured weight class in the UFC for many, many years. Esteban Ribovich, I can't wait to see you get back in the octagon. And while I can't go very in-depth or talk about what's next for this fight, Trey Waters and Billy Goff apparently had a fight of the night worthy fight. They were awarded the official fight of the night. This was one that I missed. I was playing some pickleball, actually, when this fight went down. But Trey Waters got the victory. He's won 3 straight fights. He's 2-0 in the UFC, a 9-1 record with 6 finishes. I saw some people saying this was up in the air. Billy Goff maybe should have won. So, again, I didn't get to see it, but I want to give them their shine here because they earned it in this fight of the night contender. I'm going to have to go back and watch it today. I didn't have time before jumping in the studio, but I will have to watch Waters versus Goff. And if you haven't, I suggest you go watch it as well. Give these guys their flowers. But what a night in UFC St. Louis. Let me know, did you think Waters versus Goff was the best fight of the night? What did you think of all of the big winners, the losers? What is next for everybody? And of course, that main event, Derek Lewis steals the show, as he usually does when he's at the top of the bill. And now that we are done with UFC St. Louis, we will jump into the fight announcements. Again, 3 of these were previously recorded on Thursday. They just didn't make it to the light of day on audio platforms because I didn't have enough time to get the episode put together. So those were pre-recorded and will be in here. And there is one other fight announcement to discuss as well that they announced during the UFC St. Louis broadcast. So I'm going to start with that since I'm recording this right now, and then transition directly into the other 3 that were already recorded on Thursday. In this fight is the number 15-ranked welterweight Kevin Holland bouncing back from his UFC 299 loss to Michael Venom Page. He is coming back to 185 pounds. Now, whether that be permanently or not, I do not know, but he is going to at least have a 1-fight appearance in New Jersey, UFC 302, headlined by Islam Makhachev and Dustin Poirier for the lightweight title. He is taking on Mikhail Oleksychuk, who just got defeated in March as well to Michel Pereira, who has even won a fight since then already and is maybe going to fight in June. So a lot of short notice replacements and movement here in the 170 and 185-pound division. So this is what we're getting. Kevin Holland, Mikhail Oleksychuk, UFC 302 featured bout on the pay-per-view card should be a banger for as long as it lasts. So luckily that fight and the one I was going to discuss already are both happening at UFC 304, July 27th in Manchester, England. The one that I forgot to discuss on Monday's show was Arnold Allen versus Giga Chikadze at 145 pounds. Arnold Allen is the 6th ranked featherweight in the world, and Giga Chikadze is coming in at number 10. Arnold Allen is looking to end his 2-fight skid versus Movsar Evloev and Max Holloway. Prior to that, he was undefeated in the UFC, whereas Giga Chikadze is looking to make good on his 2nd straight victory after beating Alex Caceres last August. Prior to that, lost to Calvin Kattar in 2022. That is still to this day the only loss that Giga has in the UFC. And the other fight that was just announced is Manel Kopp versus Muhammad Mokaev, number 6 versus number 7 in the flyweight division. The flyweight division is really churning right now, so this is high stakes, high implications in the 125-pound ranks. Manel Kopp will be looking to win his 5th straight fight in the UFC. He's had a lot of weird, like, discussions with the media and on Twitter and at press conferences, but he has also put on amazing performances inside the cage. He's had weight misses. He's had opponents miss weight. He's had opponents get injured. everything that you can imagine in just 3 years in the UFC has happened with Manel Kopp, but he will look to get his biggest win to date over the undefeated Muhammad Mokaev, who is coming off of a victory in March against Alex Perez. We know that Alex Perez has since bounced back already by knocking out Matheus Nicolau. So this is a very important fight for two very, very promising flyweight contenders. And then last but not least is a UFC main event, August 3rd in Abu Dhabi, headlined by Corey Sandhagen, former title challenger, and Umar Nurmagomedov. Corey Sandhagen has won 3 straight fights since losing in that interim title fight to Petr Yan, and he's looking to make it 4 in a row and solidify himself as the next number one contender. He's currently ranked number 2 in the bantamweight division. Umar Nurmagomedov is looking to pick up his first ranked victory inside of the UFC and make a splash into title contention status. Yeah, you heard that right. He's ranked number 10 at bantamweight without having beaten a current, at the time when he fights them, ranked fighter. But it's clear that the skill set is absolutely there. It's more of a matter of if, not when, It's more of a matter of when, not if, Umar Nurmagomedov works his way to title contention status. If he beats Corey Sandhagen, he launches himself right in there next. So that is it for today's show, UFC St. Louis. 4 fight announcements, everything in between. Be sure to give me all of your thoughts. I hope you guys had a great weekend, a great Mother's Day, or weekend with your family, your friends, whatever the case may be. And of course, I hope you enjoyed watching the fights as well. Maybe you even played pickleball like me. If you did, let me know. But I will see you next weekend on Friday. We are going to be breaking down UFC Vegas 92, headlined by Edson Barboza, top 15 featherweight, and Lerone Murphy, who is still undefeated. I think that is going to be a sick fight at 145 pounds. We'll, of course, touch on any other news or fight announcements that come throughout the week as well. So until then, have a great week, and I'll catch you on Friday.